This is Sunday, November the 20th, okay? 2022. Now, I got the year right, didn't I? Brother Dave, there must be something up here around this place or something. I don't know. Some wacky-backy up here or something. I don't know what that is. All right. But, you know, this lesson number 7 out of Daniel chapter number 6 is a lesson that we need to take heed to today. It's entitled, Liars, Leaders, and Lions. Liars, Leaders, and Lions. We're going to be looking at Daniel chapter number 6. And our lesson theme verse is found in verse number 10. Look at that verse with me just a moment. It says, Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. I want you to understand something today. Daniel was not ashamed of the God that he served. He was not ashamed of the God that he served. I thought if there was anything, one statement I could sum up this lesson with today, it would be found in Romans chapter 10, verse 11, where it says, For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Daniel was not ashamed to serve the Lord his God. I thought as I went through this lesson this week and was studying on it, started last week with it and finished up all this week, and I thought about a verse that Peter wrote to the people scattered all throughout Pontus and Galatia and all those other areas. And he wrote in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 16, he wrote these words. He said, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy. In other words, when you see the trying times come, don't get discouraged, don't quit, don't stop serving God. Hey, listen, we're going to stand before him one day, and it may be sooner than we ever thought it would be. Rejoice in that fact. Listen to what he said. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let me say that again. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, as one who knows Christ, as one who identifies himself or herself as being part of the family of God, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. You know what? We need to stand faithful today through every trial, through every temptation, through all the heartaches. In the world in which we live today, we're going to face some difficult times. We're going to face some things where the world only uses God's name as a byword. They use it as a curse word. They use it to express their frustration with things around them. But folks, today, listen. The early church and those folks that knew Christ as their Savior, they stood unashamedly for the Lord in all that they did. Many of them lost their homes. Many of them lost their jobs. Many of them lost their lives because they would not turn away from living for the Lord. They would not deny the one who had saved them. They would not turn away his word. And I want you to remember today that because you and I, as born-again believers, are not of this world, okay? The world is going to hate us. It's going to hate you even as they hated Christ Jesus. When they hated Christ, they're going to hate you. Jesus, when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said unto his heavenly Father in John chapter 17, verse 14, he said, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. So as the Apostle Peter wrote to those early church Christians about not being ashamed, he speaks to us the same way through this living Word of God. And he reminds us, listen, it's not going to be a strange thing if you have to go through some tough times. It's not a strange thing. It's not something that others have not gone through if you and I in our world in which we live have to suffer, have to go through some trials, have to go through some persecution. But you know what? The same God that strengthened them is the same God that we serve today. Amen? It's not some dead God of years gone by, but this is the living God who saved you and gave you eternal life. I just want you to understand that today. Daniel in his days faced the same issues. He faced persecution. He faced many a day of when people just thought he was some kind of a nut for trusting in the God of Israel. When all the Babylonians had all these so many other gods that they could trust and depend upon, they thought that those gods were real, but they weren't. And listen, let me tell you something today. Daniel was no Superman. He wasn't a Superman. He was not beyond hurt in his own heart and in his life. He was not one that was just bulletproof to everything. He suffered just like you and I suffer today. But you know what I found out this week as I was going back through this again? And I know this, and you know this, but Daniel was a blessing to others because he was a man that was willing to trust the Word of God. He trusted God. He believed that God would do what he said he would do. He believed that the promises of God were true and they were for sure. And folks, that's where you and I've got to do the same thing today. We've got to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ today. We cannot give up. The Bible tells us here in the first few verses of Daniel chapter 6, it was because of his testimony for God. It was because of his love for the Lord that his enemies sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Today, dear Conquerors class member, today, dear child of God, the least that we can do for God is to be found faithful. That's the very easiest thing that we could be able to do, is to be found faithful. Why? Because folks around you need to know that God is real. They need to know that God is real. Listen, the book of Psalms said this, the wicked watcheth the righteous. Did you know you're being watched today? The wicked watcheth the righteous. And here's their desire. The Bible said, and they seek to slay him. The devil would love to do nothing else but to destroy every faithful child of God so that we couldn't be a light in a dark world, so that we could not be a testimony for Christ. But you keep your eyes on Jesus, amen? You keep your eyes on the Savior. You be faithful to do what he said do, and God will bless it. Now, I want you to look at this lesson today. God had blessed Daniel through the years. Remember, in Daniel chapter 1, we're looking at some boys between the ages of 15 and 17 years of age. Now, Daniel is a man that is pushing mid-80s, close to maybe 90. And God has been faithful to him. God has elevated him in the world that he lived. God has blessed him. If you'll remember from last week's lesson, the last command given by Belshazzar before he was killed by the Medes and the Persians, the Bible said that Daniel was to be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck. And they made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom, which meant when he and his father were gone, Daniel was in charge of the kingdom. God had blessed Daniel. And now a new king was on the scene. A king by the name of Darius, or some folks pronounce it Darius. Darius. But this new king had come on the scene. And he was one that had learned to trust Daniel. He had learned to depend upon Daniel's faithfulness to him, to the kingdom, and even to the God that Daniel spoke to this king about. You see, Daniel was not ashamed. And he did all this, not for the glory of men, but unto the glory of God. He did what he did for the glory of God. Listen, if you work in the factory, do all that you do for the glory of God. You be the best tow truck driver. Listen, if you take out the trash for the office people and everything else, if you work in the maintenance crew, or you tighten bolts and put in light bulbs, whatever you do, listen, you be the best little light bulb putter inner, if that's a good word. You be the best one for God that you can be. Be all that you are for the glory of God. That's what Daniel did. And as we see here, Darius, he had gotten new leadership started in this kingdom. And the Bible talks about it here, how that Darius thought to put three men directly under him. They're dividing the kingdom up into three sections. Three men, they were going to call them presidents. And under those three presidents, he was going to put 120 princes to govern and to rule over this new kingdom. And as you look here in verses 1 and 2, we see how Daniel is placed as a president. Look what the Bible said. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom and 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Imagine that. This man Daniel, a captive, okay? He was taken into captivity. He was put into a situation that he had to make a stand the very first few weeks he was there. But he stood faithfully for God, and God blessed his faithfulness. And this meant that the king felt that he could trust these men. He picked out men he thought he could trust. And the number one man that he knew he could trust was this man named Daniel. Daniel. Now look at this. Part number B. Daniel was preferred above all the other presidents. Look at verse number 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. Why? Because he was more popular? No. Because he had a lot of money? No. Because he was good looking? No. Because he had a Cadillac for a chariot? No. Listen to what he said. It said, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. What a testimony this man Daniel had. He had an excellent spirit in him. I watched as I was growing up as a young man. I was saved at the age of 15 and a half. And I watched people shout and praise God on Sunday and wave hankies and all this other stuff. And we had one lady that would always sit up at the front of the church. And she carried a little hanky in her sleeve there. You know, she'd get that thing out and wave it. And every now and then she'd throw that thing up, whoa, like that, way up in the air. And that hanky'd go this way and she'd go that way and all this other stuff. But there were times, boy, you didn't want to ask her how she was doing, because she would tell you. And I mean, she just started down the list. Well, this is broken, that's bruised, and this is hurting, and you know, all this stuff. And it was just, I didn't want to be around her. I didn't but want to be around her. Now, she'd shout on Sunday. But man, all the rest of the week, she was just a complainer, a griper, and things like that. And it breaks your heart. And I thought, you know what, Lord, I don't want to be that way. And so I started many, many years ago, when anybody would come up to me and say, Brother Ray, how you doing today? I'd always just tell them, saved by grace. You know why? Because no matter what is going on in my life, no matter how bad I may feel, no matter how ugly I may be, no matter how whatever else is going on, I am still saved by grace. Amen. And I am on my way to heaven. And I've got, you know, it's like Brother Mays Jackson used to say, I'm glory bound with a hammer down. Amen. And I can let folks know that God is still in control. I believe Daniel was like that. And he just let folks know he loved God. He had a great testimony. But look at this. Because he had a great testimony for God, the evil enemies around him plotted against him. They tried to mow him down. They tried to cut him down. And look what the Bible said here in verses 4 through 9. Then the presidents, now that's not including Daniel, that's the other two men that had been chosen to be leaders over Darius' kingdom. The presidents and the princes, there's 120 of those men now. And you add the 120 princes plus two presidents, that's 122 adversaries. 122 adversaries. They spoke against this one man, Daniel. Now look what the Bible said. Then the presidents and the princes, they sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. They wanted to find something that he was doing wrong in the work he did for the king. Do you understand why it's so important that you give your best on your job? Wherever you work, whatever you do, you need to give your best as unto the Lord. You give your best. Why? Because people are watching you. And they automatically think that Christians ought to be doing a better job than what the lost world does. Listen, yesterday, my wife and I was about to starve. I had not eaten it. I had some grapefruit yesterday morning. And I ate a whole bowl of grapefruit and drank about two or three glasses of water with it. And I was hungry. And so we stopped at Arby's down here to get a roast beef sandwich. I had roast beef on my mind. And I stopped and got me a roast beef sandwich. And they had a problem with some containers. They didn't have containers that they needed for the fries. And we all ordered medium-sized fries. So they gave us two small orders of fries with everything that they gave us. And so we had six things of fries. Me, Danny, and my wife, Lisa, we had six things of fries. You know, I had a big roast beef sandwich. My wife had a roast beef sandwich. And then Danny had this big old brisket sandwich. And so we were just glad that we got it. We were just thankful for it. We said, hey, thank you. Appreciate that. You know, it could have been a bad situation. Some of the other people in there, they got upset because their order didn't come out on time. And they didn't get this and they didn't get that. And they went up there just fussed at those four. And this poor guy, he's in there working himself to death. They're already short on help. Didn't have anybody helping him. And he's trying to take orders and get the orders fixed and make sure they get right and take care of the customers. And this guy's back there just fussing and carrying on and just acting like a ding-dong in his head, okay? Well, you know, they got one of these bells at the door. Well, this guy that was complaining was right there at the table in front of that bell. So when we went through there, I told my wife, I said, I'm going to give this fella up here a gospel tract. I'm just going to tell him, thank you for everything you did. And give him an invitation to come to church. And I did. And while I'm going out there, she and Danny are going out the door. And she rang that bell. And that guy looking back there like, what in the world's going on? And we said, thank you. Thank you. And we walked on out. Listen, folks, you can't let the world get you down. You know, ring the bell. Amen. Jesus is real. And Daniel tried to do what was right in all that he did on his job. But those folks around him didn't like that. They didn't like it because he did what was right. The Bible said they sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Now think about that. They're looking, first of all, to see if you're going to do your job right. Then they're going to come back and say, well, he says he loves God. I wonder if he goes to church on Sunday. What if he goes back on Sunday night or Wednesday night? I wonder if he's really living for God. Let's just see if he's obeying the law that he says his God says he ought to be doing. Boy, I thought about that, and I thought, man, there's another reason to be faithful to church. Amen. Hey, my neighbors are watching. My friends are watching. When I go out, I always wave at them. I want them to know that I'm going to church on Sunday morning. Amen. I want them to know while they're out mowing the yard and everything else. Listen, if I was going to be a heathen and not go to church on Sunday, I sure wouldn't mow my yard on Sunday. I wouldn't do it. I'd be lazy and sorry and just lay in bed all day. That's what I'd do. But that's just me. But you know what? Listen. These guys were looking for an occasion against Daniel. They couldn't find it in his public work. So what did they do? They looked for it in his spiritual life. And folks, listen to me today. The world is watching to see if you really practice what you preach. They're looking to see if you really believe what you tell them that you believe. And the Bible said, we can't find anything about his job, so we're going to look for an occasion against him in the law of his God. Then look what the Bible said. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing into and the decree. Now what did they do? They saw that Daniel was faithful on his job, but they saw that Daniel was also faithful in his work for the Lord. Daniel was faithful in his prayer life, and they hated that. They hated them. I could probably imagine Daniel praying for each one of them. He'd go through that prayer list. I want to pray for president number two, and I want to pray for president number three, and prince one, and prince two, and go all down the line. He'd name them before God, and they hated that kind of stuff. And they said, well, we're going to fix it so Daniel gets in trouble if he continues to do that. So what did they do? They came up with a law. They devised a law. They could go back and just butter up the ego of King Darius. Now, he must have been a kind of egomaniac like most of those kings were. They saw themselves as gods. They saw themselves as ones that ought to be worshipped by the people. So these guys come up with a decree and says, oh, we want to honor you this whole next month. This is King Darius month. And we want everybody to honor you as the king. And anybody that doesn't, we've all agreed that they ought to just be thrown into the den of lions and done away with as an example. And the king's thinking, well, it sounds good. And everybody, those 120 princes and those two presidents, they're all down there clapping their hands and saying, yay, go King Darius, go King Darius. And he said, well, let's go ahead and get it. And he said, we've already got the paper. All you got to do is sign on the dotted line right there. And so the king, in his pride, not thinking about the consequences of this thing, he signs this decree. And look what the Bible said. Verse 5, now, once that paper was signed, that decree was signed, now these two presidents and these 120 princes set out on a journey to discredit Daniel before the king. But I want you to notice something. They don't just discredit Daniel, but they try to make it look like the king did a bad job for assigning him to his job. So they're actually trying to discredit the king before his royal court. Look what happens in verse 5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So now they try to deceive the king, verses 6 through 8. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him. Now this is the same thing they said before. King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal decree and to make a firm, a royal statute, and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or any man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. O king, establish the decree. Establish it. Sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. The Bible said then, wherefore King Darius signed the decree. He signs this thing. He puts it in the law. The proclamation is made. It cannot be changed. Then this makes a predicament for Daniel. And I want you to see what happened. Daniel knew, the Bible said, that the writing was signed. Verse 10. And when he knew, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. What does this tell you about Daniel? Daniel was faithful and he didn't change. He knew what they told him. He knew what they were going to say. Listen, they knew because he was a Jew, they hated the Jews. They knew because he was a captive, they hated him for that. And now they hated him because he was faithful to his God. So what's a man to do? Does he side with those folks that hate him? Or does he stay faithful to the God who has blessed him? Let me ask you today, what happens when they come to you and say, hey, you're going to have to do this on the job. You're going to have to do that on the job. Listen, there are times that you have to just stand up and do what's right. And you know what? You trust God for the rest of it. Daniel did this. And I want you to see the devotion of Daniel in this verse. He knew that the writing was signed. I believe with all my heart that Daniel was already aware that they were working on this devilish decree. I believe he knew it within his heart. He could not have been the number one man in that kingdom and not known what those other men were doing. But you know what? He went ahead and he did what was right. And the Bible said here that when he had prayed in his heart for that king to see it, I think Daniel probably prayed and asked God, Lord, if it be your will, let the king see through this. I know he's a little egotistic, but God help him, Lord, to see through what these other men are doing. But these men presented this decree in such a way that the king was swayed to believe them. And folks, today our world is doing stuff in such they're just doing it in such a deceptive way. It's deceiving the world, and it's making people think that wrong now is not so bad. And wrong really is, it's all right to do it. As long as you don't hurt anybody else and you just enjoy yourself, wrong is right. And right, man, those guys are fanatics. Right is wrong now. The Bible said that Daniel was devoted. I believe that Daniel had in his heart the desire to serve the Lord God no matter what happened. Even as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did when they were approached by the king. And if you'll remember, when they were told by King Nebuchadnezzar that they were going to have to bow before the golden image, remember when they were told that when the music sounds and all the sackbut, the psaltery, and the harp, and all these things sound and they play, that you've got to bow down and worship my golden image. And then King Darius asked him, he said, "And who is that God that can deliver you out of my hands?" And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had the same determination as what Daniel did. And they said unto the king, he said, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter." In other words, we're not worried about the answer we're going to give to you. He said, "If it be so, our God, which we serve, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." And I believe with all my heart, Daniel had that same devotion in his heart. He already had determined what he was going to do. Listen to me today, folks. If you don't prepare for the battle, you will be defeated by the devil. If you do not hide the word of God in your heart that you might not sin against the Lord, when the devil attacks you, you'll not be ready for his attacks. Stay in the word of God and allow the word of God to stay in you. Daniel had made that determination. So now in verses 11 through 13, we see the deviousness of the detractors. They were devious. They were wicked. Look what the Bible said, beginning in verse 11. "Then these men assembled, and they found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God." And what did they do? Did they go and tell him, "Daniel, you shouldn't be doing that"? No. These little tattletale kids, okay, went straight to the king. And look what the Bible said. "Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or a man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" And the king, in his pride, in his old egotistical attitude, said, "Yep, that's right, buddy. It's King Darius month, all month long. I agreed, and I signed it. This thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they. They were just looking for the occasion, folks. "Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, that old Daniel, that old Jew, that old geezer that's always talking about God for all these years, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, he regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day." Notice here that Daniel never hid his devotion to God. He never hid it. He didn't go and close the door, shut the windows, and close all the blinds and pray unto God. He did like he'd always done. He stayed faithful. He was not ashamed of what God had done for him. And then when those men said that, and they accused this man Daniel, the Bible said that the king was not happy about it. You know why the king was not happy about it? It wasn't the fact that Daniel had prayed unto God and broken a law. The king was upset because he had been so foolish to allow pride to cause him to sign this law, this decree into law, and hurt the man that he trusted above all the others, a friend named Daniel. Look what the Bible said in verse 14 and 15. "Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself." He wasn't displeased with Daniel. He was displeased with himself. "And he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. And then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed." And they're going around like little snippy dogs. You know, these little dogs that bite you on the ankles and stuff. You just want to kick at them and all this other stuff. They just went around that king all day. "King, there's no thing that you can do about this. You signed it in the law. Daniel's got to die." Look what the Bible said. The Bible said, verses 16 and 17, they delivered Daniel to the den of lions. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he'll deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet. Boom, he sealed the thing. And with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. You know what? The king was flowing some tears, I believe, in his eyes that day. Tears of sorrow. Sorrow for being so prideful. Sorrow for not seeing through this evil plot of these wicked men and their plot against the man of God. Sorrow for not being able to undo what he had been tricked to do and he had been deceived about, which brought about sad consequences for his own dear friend. So the Bible said here that they cast Daniel into the den of lions. I looked up that word cast in the dictionary. And it means to send forth by throwing. They took this old man, brought him to the mouth of that hole where the den of lions was. And it was huge. They used that to take care of people that didn't obey the law. And they would not feed those lions. They were hungry and they're jumping up and down trying to get to anybody that would move that rock off the top of it. And they cast Daniel down into that den of lions. It's a wonder that he didn't break everything, break his neck. God protected Daniel. Maybe he landed on a big fat lion and it broke his fall. I don't know. But you know what? The Bible said they delivered him. And the king watched as his dear friend was so mistreated by these wicked men. And he cried out to him and said, Daniel, thy God whom thou servest, he will deliver thee. And as he's shouting that, they're rolling that big old stone on top of it. And those presidents and those princes said, now seal it, old king. Seal it with your signet. And he takes his ring and puts it down in that wax. And the other lords, they seal it all the way around, so that nobody could break through and take it apart. You know, I'm reminded here that Psalm chapter 30, verse 5, the latter part of that verse says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And all that night, the Bible said here in verse 18, then the king went to his palace, and he passed the night fasting. That means he didn't eat, he didn't drink. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then in verses 19 and 20, the Bible said, after he had prayed all night and walked around all night, wondering what was going to happen to Daniel, could the God that Daniel served really deliver him from this den of lions? Could it really happen? The Bible said, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said, oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And look at verse 21. I believe that from down deep inside that den, it was very early in the morning. That cave was closed over the rocks. Those big old hungry lions there panting. They can't eat. They can't drink. They can't do anything. And it's warm and cuddly inside there. And from down deep inside that hole in the ground, when the king cries out with a lamentable voice, old Daniel says, oh, good morning, old king. Yes, God has been good. He said, oh, king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me. For as much before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then the king was exceeding glad for him, and he commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed his God. Amen. What a blessing to know that God had delivered Daniel. But folks, the story doesn't stop there. The king looks at Daniel. They probably embrace. He's just praising Daniel's God for all that God has done for Daniel. And he said, wait a minute. Guards, go get all those men. And the Bible said, verse 24, the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. All they did was hang them overboard, and the lions grabbed up there and took them down. And they ate all 120 princes, the two kings, all their wives, and all their children. That was a fat den of lions that day, amen? And you know what? The king could hear. Could you imagine hearing the screaming and the crying out? Why? Because they had done wrong and they were suffering for their sin. And look what the decree was that Daniel made. Then the king wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwelt in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. God blessed faithfulness. Folks, God will bless you if you'll remain to be faithful to God. Let's determine to do just that today. We got to hurry. We're almost done. Father, I love you. And I thank you, dear God, for the fact that we need to remember that our day-to-day testimony for you, whether it be at home or at work or at play, Lord, that may be the only truth that some people ever get to see or hear about the great and mighty God that we say we serve. Help us, dear God, to be found faithful today. I pray, dear God, that you'll help us to love you because you first loved us. Lord, help us to do right till the stars fall from heaven. God, help us to do right. And help us to remember that whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And Lord, if there be someone here today that's not saved, I pray, dear God, that you'll help them to see their need of a Savior and come to know you today. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in class. Sorry for getting you out late.